Welcome to The Connection, a weekly radio program where we share our experiences and expertise with stories of caring, courage, and change right here in Connecticut. Listen to learn about needed resources to improve your well-being and transform your life. Now, here are the hosts of The Connection, Lisa DeMattis-Lepore and Ann Baldwin.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another great show here on The Connection. I'm Ann Baldwin, one of your hosts of this program.
And I'm Lisa DeMattis-Lepore, your other host.
That's right, Lisa, the president and CEO of The Connection. How are things going at the office?
Things are good.
Things are good.
It's been busy. Yeah. I can't believe the months are starting to fly by already.
I know what they say, less than 3 months until spring.
I can't wait.
So we've all been busy. I just went to the Channel 8 holiday party the other night. That was fun.
Oh, you looked beautiful.
It was fun. We had a good time.
That's awesome.
But, you know, it's like, you know, these people and their parties, they really need to have them during the holidays because everybody was just, I think, kind of burnt out.
Yeah, it's
tough. Know, but it was good seeing some old friends and, you know, Bill, my fiance, works there. So he had a good time. He was a dancing machine.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, my gosh. It was hilarious. It was hilarious. So Laura Ward is back. Hi, Laura. It's so good to see you again.
Hello, ladies. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, Laura and I know each other because we're both public relations professionals. And I've watched all the good work that Laura's done over the years with her clients. But now she's on to a new venture, which we'll get to in a minute. But why don't you tell us a little bit about your background? Where'd you come from?
I've lived in Connecticut my entire life. I come from a background of drinking parents, and my mother had drinking parents, and my grandmother went into recovery. My grandfather didn't. He actually died of suicide when I was a baby. My mom continued to drink, and my entire childhood, unhealthy drinking was modeled for me. I didn't know anything different. Mm-hmm. Certainly no blame there. I don't blame anyone for my path taking the course it did. But ultimately, in my 30s and 40s, I got to a point with alcohol that was ugly and dangerous and not good for anybody. I've been in recovery for almost 6 years, and I'm coming up on my fifth sober anniversary.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. But I got to a place where I realized that bad things were really going to happen. I was drinking more and I was trying to run a business and be successful in my public relations career. And I was letting alcohol completely get in the way of any success on any level.
How'd you get sober?
I reached out to a life coach because I didn't really know what else to do. I was terrified of anyone finding out my quote-unquote secret and was worried that if my clients found out, they wouldn't want to work with me anymore. And so I reached out to a coach. She was a friend of mine and someone I knew from business networking over the years. And I thought, she can either help me or she'll know someone who can. Mm-hmm. We just started working together through a coaching relationship, which I love. Coaching is a lot different from therapy, and coaching taps into your strengths and allows you to get creative with them and set goals for yourself. And working with someone one-on-one, there was an accountability piece for me, which I really needed. Wanted to be able to report good things to her each week when we got together. And then she finally looked at me and she said, I don't think we need to do this anymore. I think you can go try this on your own and see how you do without the checking in. And that's where I was. So
isn't that interesting? You know, the other component there too is you didn't need to detox.
I didn't. However, looking back, perhaps I should have.
Yeah, I wonder what that's like.
When I look back and I think about it, I do believe I was to a certain extent physically dependent on alcohol. I would start drinking in the morning to stop the shakes from the
it turns into one vicious cycle, right?
And it was yeah. You know, as soon as the kids got on the bus,
yep,
I was cracking a beer, or if there wasn't going to be a beer for me to crack, because I started drinking beer in the beginning of the day and I was drinking wine by the end of the day, and kind of had this little pattern that I went through every day. And if I didn't have a beer to open as soon as they got on the bus, I would actually take them to school so I could hit the store on the way home and buy what I was going to drink for the day. So I know my body missed it. I didn't know medically that detox is something that's important and what I was doing was dangerous and I should have been working with someone because I did just stop. Wow. There was no weaning off, no taper. And I know now because I've learned so much about alcohol and what it does when you're addicted to it, that things could have gone really badly for me.
Did your husband know that you were drinking as much as you were, or did you hide that from him?
I was very good at hiding it. I joke with people now. Now I can joke about it. Then I wouldn't have wanted anybody to know what I was doing, but I have an Oreck upright vacuum cleaner with the big bag, and I would put empty wine bottles in there. And the thing that, you know, strikes me funny now is that when my grandmother, who had been in recovery through 12-step in her adult life after my grandfather had passed, when she ultimately died of Alzheimer's when I was in my 20s, we were cleaning out her house, and we found about 12 Oreck vacuum cleaners in her basement. So now
kind of makes sense. Well, you know, it's interesting. We have a couple of things in common, Laura, and that is, you know, my alcoholism really hit me at 50. It was just, you know, I managed. I thought I was just a functioning alcoholic, but then at 50, it just, to your point, it was a 24/7 cycle. I get up in the morning, I couldn't even brush my teeth without feeling sick, you know, and it just, your body does get dependent on it. And the other thing is, and I laugh about it now, 10 years later, is my hiding spots. You know, I've told this story before, Lisa, when I have these big Tupperware containers full of different holiday decorations. And it was probably up to like 2 years after I got sober, if I got down the Easter decorations, oh, there were all the empty nips and wine bottles in there. And it just, I kept finding bottles and things in the weirdest spots. And one of my hiding spots was my golf bag.
Yeah.
In the little pouches where you're supposed to keep your spare balls. Well, guess what? Sure. I was keeping spare nips in there. So it's interesting how we get so tricky and it's so deceptive and you hide it. And then my closet was my go-to place. You know, just go in there, shut the door, and, you know, you just kind of isolate yourself and do what you got to do.
And the hiding, I mean, it was big. It wasn't just that, you know, I like the vacuum cleaner story
because
I think it's a little bit silly. But I was doing some business travel to New Jersey at the height of my active addiction. And so I would just put the empties in my car so I could ditch them in a dumpster at a rest stop on the way. Or I would hide them behind the washer and dryer in the basement, and or in the back of a cupboard. We have this cupboard that goes way around the corner near the sink, and I would hide them in there. And then the next day, it was like playing hide and seek.
It was like
myself,
you're panicked
because needed to
where in the hell
find
are they?
Them
yeah,
all.
Yeah, yeah.
And then because my husband does the recycles, so I couldn't put them in there, even though they were glass and you have to recycle them. I would wrap them up in newspaper and put them in a regular old plastic garbage bag and put them in the garbage because I couldn't let anybody find them. And so I felt more guilty about not recycling than I did about drinking. It was ridiculous.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So now you have got some time under your belt. Again, congratulations.
Thank you.
So if you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Laura Ward from Laura Ward Coaching. Now, you've got these initials after your name. Lisa, you probably know what these are, but I don't. So I want to know, you're a CPC, CPRC, and an SRCD. Now, I'm very impressed. The only thing missing there is doctor. So what are these initials stand for?
So I'm a certified professional coach, life coach, but also a certified professional recovery coach. So that's the CPC and the CPRC. And the SRCD is She Recovers Coach Designee. And what that means is the coaching work I do aligns with the She Recovers intentions and guiding principles. There are about 10 of them. But basically the the nuts and bolts of it are She Recovers. It's an organization that believes we are all in recovery from something.
That's so true.
Whether it's drug and alcohol use, misuse, or workaholism, or cancer, or another physical disease, or sexual assault, you know, all the things that we can be in recovery from, and that there are multiple pathways and patchworks of recovery. There is no right way for anyone to recover, and it's okay to do that exploration and find what works best for you and grab pieces and parts of all the different things there are and put together your thing. And it doesn't have to look like anybody else's thing. There are no rules. As long as you're working on getting to a healthier place.
Right. And we talk about this all the time, Lisa. You know, there's so many different pathways to recovery.
Yeah.
And, you know, like you said, 12-step works for a lot of people. They walk in those rooms and they just don't walk back out. And some people, like for me, it had to be a detox and it had to be 28 days. And so everybody is different. But we also talk about in recovery, planting the seed. At some point, you have to plant the recovery seed, and then you can only hope at some point it takes. If people sometimes go in and out, but, you know, at some point it takes, and that's what your goal is. So how do you work with individuals who are seeking recovery today?
I work with women mainly, but men as well, in a one-on-one coaching relationship. And what's interesting is that even though I'm based here in Connecticut, most of the people I've worked with have been all over the place, including Canada. So we do video conferencing.
Oh, that's great.
And it's great because as the person receiving coaching, you can be sitting there in your pajamas if you want to, or you can do it, you know, through an app on your phone in your car at lunchtime if you're just ducking out of the office. And that's what I love. So it's really, it's a one-on-one conversation. Coaching is a confidential collaboration. We are partners. And what I like to do with people who are just starting out is do a weekly meeting. We can certainly do more frequently if that's something they feel they need. But we don't go backwards. You know, there's no analysis. There's no picking apart the past the way you might do if you went in to work with a therapist or a counselor. We look at where you are now and talk about what is it about now that doesn't feel good and how do you want to feel? Where do you want to be in the future? And what goals can you set for yourself? What goals can I help you set for yourself to get you to that place you want to be? And my biggest thing that I tell everybody is the most important thing is to stay present so you can move forward. I think too often we trip ourselves up because we look so far into the future that we can't see where we are now and the fact that it isn't just a leap from now to then. There's work to be done along the way. And if you stay present in that work, that future piece will just show up for you.
So I assume that the length of your the coaching depends on the issues that the person's facing with regard to how often you see them or the duration, right?
It does. And that's really, you know, it's not a cookie cutter type of a thing. It's very
individualized. Yep.
So when I first start working with someone, they schedule what I call a discovery call with me, 45 minutes, half an hour. We talk on the phone or we do a video session and we get to know one another. I get to know what they think coaching is because it's important that we're all on the same page about what that relationship is and what they can expect from it. And learn a little bit about what they're looking to get out of coaching, why they want to do this. And if everything feels like a fit at the end of the conversation, they will let me know. I am not salesy. I am not pushy. I don't want to work with someone who feels like I'm trying to talk them into a relationship.
Right.
So it's 100% on the person who is interested in coaching to say, yes, this is what I want, or no, sorry.
So how can people find you? What's your website?
My website is laurapward.com.
That's Laura, P as in Peter, Ward.com.
Yes.
And I've checked out the website. It really has some great useful information in different areas of focus and things. And back to one of the things that you just talked about is it's overwhelming. I think sometimes we put too much on our plate and we, well, you know, instead of worrying about today, we're worried about, you know, 10 years from now. And this woman, Jeannie Forbes, who is one of my favorite people in the world, she said it's kind of like cleaning the house. And she was raised by the nuns. And the nuns always said, when you're overwhelmed about where to start when you're cleaning in a house, start in the corner and work your way out. Kind of like with your life.
Yeah.
You know, start in a little corner and work your way out. And I got to tell you, just cleaning my house, really, I've started doing that now. And it's taken all the anxiety and like, oh my God, how am I going to do all this?
Isn't that
kind of cool?
I like that. Yeah, I do.
Leave it to the nuns.
It's a focus.
Yes.
It's a focus point, and then you can follow that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That makes sense.
And I love, Laura, too, with technology today, and it's accessible, and, you know, you can always talk to somebody. You might have an appointment, but I would also think part of coaching is, you know, I'm feeling something or I need you now, and you're always there to accommodate that.
Absolutely. I've worked with women who check in with me by text every single day. And for some people, that's what they need for months. And that's fine. You know, I invite people to do that with me when they're coaching. Some want to feel a little bit more independent, and others are, oh my gosh, thank goodness I have this lifeline and I can touch you in some way every single day. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, different things work for different people.
And you're doing this work yourself. You don't have a staff. You're seeing all your clients yourself right now.
Correct.
Yeah, that's great.
Thank you.
That's exciting.
Thank you.
And I believe too that, you know, you've got a lived experience and, you know, it's a plus, but it's a minus, but it's really a plus because I know that you know where these people, many of them, are coming from. Circumstances may be different, but you can relate, they can relate to you, and they can see you as an example of how life can change after you give up alcohol, right?
Right. And I think the experience is really important when it comes to this area of coaching. And I'll just step back for a moment. I mean, coaches have their own coaches. Coaches have their own mm-hmm. therapists. And I was working with a therapist not too long ago, and we were working on some non-addiction related things. And this person said to me, thank goodness you're already sober, because I wouldn't be able to talk to you about the other stuff.
Do most of your clients, are they mostly in recovery? Are they trying to be in recovery right now? Do that most of them have addiction issues, or it's a variety of different issues?
It's mostly women who are trying to remove alcohol from their lives.
Yeah.
Whether or not they use the label addict or alcoholic, or, you know, we're looking these days at the whole gray area drinking spectrum. People
exactly.
who realize that their relationship with alcohol isn't healthy.
Right.
But they wouldn't go so far as to say they're addicted to
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
So I've worked with women all areas of the spectrum.
Do you see patterns in a lot of the women that you coach? Either it's familial, or there was a tragic event, or something that impacted their life?
With the women I've worked with directly, I don't see any clear pattern. Everyone's got a little bit of a different story.
So I'm assuming too, then, you know, you talk about, it's like what you talk about, Lisa, you know, meet people where they're at. Everybody's situation
is different.
And I just think it's great that you're doing this and making yourself accessible. Now in Hartford, you have group activities. Is that correct?
As a She Recovers coach, I host a monthly sharing circle.
Oh, that's awesome.
So they call it the She Recovers Hartford Sharing Circle. I've been holding them in Farmington for almost a year now, every month. And we're wrapping up working on finding a new venue. And so I'll be announcing the February event very soon, as soon as I have all that.
As soon as you have all that nailed down.
But that information's on my website as
well. So as soon as you know when you're going to be having your next recovery circle, that'll all be on your website. And the website, again, is laurapward.com. You know, and I'm sure there's a lot of people out there listening, as they always are, saying, you know, I'm going to write this down and I want so-and-so to talk to Laura. Or, you know, maybe I'll talk to Laura. And you want to make sure that people call you and reach out and that it is a good fit.
Absolutely.
Right? That's what you talk about, kind of the assessment piece. Not only do you need to be good for me, but I need to be good for you. It has to go both ways because this is a really intimate relationship, is it not?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And case in point, a woman called me and I knew right away we weren't a fit, mm-hmm. but I knew a coach who would be a fit for her.
Oh, that's
just
great.
Geographically.
Yep.
As I said, you know, I do the video conferencing, but any opportunity to get together with someone in person is huge, huge. In-person connection is such a big, important thing. And she lived in the same town as a coach I knew across
fantastic.
The country. So I said, you're wonderful. You're great. I'd love to work with you, but I think that the two of you will do really well together. So, you know, it's for me, it's not about a sale. It's about helping
people. Of course.
People.
Right. Of course. That's
and I believe, too, in person is, I'll just speak for myself. I know when I was trying to get sober before I went to rehab and all that, I was actually going to see a recovery coach and going in person. But I would just wait to drink until after I saw that. I always made sure that my appointments were pretty early in the morning so that I could drink after. You know, so it's accountability thing too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That, you know, being in person, there's pressure to, you know, get your act together. This is sad, but, you know, it goes back to where you hid your wine bottles in the Auric vacuum cleaner bag. I've got to laugh now, and I hope it's okay. But I was taking piano lessons again. I started up piano lessons, again, like in my mid-50s, in the height of this thing. And I was going to my piano lessons at 9:30 in the morning with, you know, 4 beers in my belly. I mean, I was drinking before piano lessons. My poor piano teacher, no wonder I was so bad. He's like, did you practice? I'm like, oh yeah, I practice. And you know, you gotta laugh about it now, but it's so sad. It's just so, it's such a horrible thing. It really is. And the good news is that there's people out there that can help you. You just gotta ask for it. You just gotta
exactly.
reach out. And you people, if you've got an issue, you've gotta want it.
Exactly.
You have to want it. And,
exactly.
And I think that the human connection piece is really so huge. And you have such a amazing warmth about you. And it's easy. It's so easy to talk to you. You can tell that you're very caring and that, you know, you have life experience and you want to reach out to others and that comes shining through. And I think that's so important. You know, you could tell your heart is into it.
Thank
that's,
you.
That's really wonderful, you know, because some people, not necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
And I always think that when people are getting healthy or better and they're working on their issues, that human connection with that person is so important.
Well,
it's so important.
Right. And
it's
what drives results, too.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, people can read right into that. They really, really can. So again, the website, if you'd like to chat with Laura, if you know someone or maybe it's you that might need some help. I like what she said too. What Laura said is that, you know, maybe you just are questioning your relationship with drugs or alcohol, or, you know, maybe, you know, you quit for a time and you're back at it and you just want to check in with somebody. I mean, there's all these things. It's okay. It's okay to have that conversation. And there's no judgment here. This is a no judgment
exactly.
zone. So again, the website is Laura P, as in Paul, ward.com, and there's lots of information on there and questions that you really should ask yourself before you get into a coaching relationship. There are questions that you need to explore and ask yourself.
Absolutely.
So that by the Absolutely. Time that you have this conversation, you should know
exactly,
you know, whether it's a good fit or not.
Right.
Wow, this half hour went by fast,
it
didn't
flew.
It?
Yes.
Well, as I like to say to people like you, Laura, continued success. Continued success. You know, you've made a great change in your life. You've made a great transition now professionally. And you've got
great
this.
Role model. You're great.
You are.
You're a great
you
role
are.
Model to others.
Thank
yep.
you both
so,
very
so
much.
Keep on keeping on and good, you know, the best of success as you move forward. And to our listeners, we hope you enjoyed our show and you'll reach out to Laura if you, even just for an evaluation or just to talk to her about someone who you think that you love and care about that may need assistance.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And we couldn't do this without our listeners. We want to thank everybody for tuning in to this edition of The Connection right here on
WTIC News Talk 1080.